It's here to put gifts on the Christmas trees.
Bartcast. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Saw something in a recent Time magazine. This came out since the election, and it made me real mad. And I'm going to try to get through this without using a bunch of F-words. Wish me luck. It's called The Revival of Trent Lott, Mississippi's junior senator. Who would the senior senator be? Is that, what is his name? I can see his old ugly face, but I can't think of his name. Anyway, Lott is the junior senator from Mississippi. He returns to leadership and to wars with Democrats and the White House. Hello, Mr. President. This is Lazarus speaking. Ha ha. This is how Trent Lott answered a phone call last week from George W. Bush, the man who helped force him out of the Senate's top spot in 2002 after Lott praised Strom Thurmond's 1948 segregationist presidential campaign. You know, a little sidebar. Wonder if everybody, and I say this as a man of peace, a man of bringing, you know, a bridge builder. Doesn't it seem like everybody ought to get, I don't know if it's one sentence or one event. I mean, you got your Trent Lott said that one thing, and maybe he didn't mean it. It's kind of hard to think that he would intentionally say that with microphones in the room, knowing how it could be turned around. And then Kerry's joke about if you're real stupid, you might end up in Iraq, that kind of thing. I mean, it was a dumb thing to say, and it went way big. And I don't know, Cheney had one a while back where he said it's no-brainer, the water torture thing. Maybe he meant that. Maybe, you know, it's the other guy's job to make a mountain out of a molehill. And sure, it's a lot easier when the fucking whore, when the whore press is on your side, because, you know, they get to magnify anything. If any Democrat ever says anything, you know, O'Reilly does it for an hour, and then Hannity does it for an hour, and then, you know, it's just one after another. Rush Limbaugh does it 3 hours, and then Hannity does it 3 hours there, and then Dr. Laura does it 3 hours, and then that horse molester, Paul Harvey, he does it an hour for. I mean, it's just nonstop echo chamber about anything that happens, so we got to fight twice as hard. But, and, of course, then there's Michael Richards' thing, which, for some reason, I just can't get into my head that he meant that. I don't know why. I don't particularly like the guy. I was sort of like Seinfeld, and I considered him more of a distraction than a fun part of the show. I just don't see it that he meant to be that way. And something that was going to say this in, on the page, but it doesn't make a lot of sense on the page, the printed word. But I remember years ago, Andrew Dice Clay was doing an MTV Awards thing. And he got up on stage, and he promised him he was going to do a PG bit. And he got up on stage, and he lost his place, and he just defaulted into his regular act. And he did a big thing about licking buttholes and a whole bunch of, you know who Andrew Dice Clay is. His act is about as raw as it can get. And stood there right there on MTV Live and just went through about 90 seconds or 2 minutes of the most raunchy, raw material, adult kind of blue stuff you could ever do. And they made a big thing, oh, he's banned for life. Well, that ban for life lasted 2-3 years. What he said afterwards is, he didn't say I'm sorry, but he says I kind of went into default there. It would be my guess when you're a stand-up, it's hard to just stand there and speak because you've got your routine. By the time you see a special on HBO, they've worked that act for a year. They might tweak it here and there, but you know, you take that thing on the road and you find out which parts work and which parts don't, and so you set it up. There's joke number 1, 2, 3, 4, and after 4 you do this thing, and then you go to 5, 6, 7, after 7 you do X, and after 8, 9, 10 you do the other thing. So you have this all set there. And somehow I think Michael Richards got thrown off his ball, as my boss in India used to say. And somehow he just got into the wrong groove, the wrong channel there, and couldn't get out. But he said what he said, so he can't just say, oh, that's silly Kramer. But yeah, he said what he said, so he's got to live with it. But and the reaction to it is, it seemed to be nobody had ever heard those words before. Granted, he said them in hate, and that's always the wrong thing to do. There's a thing going around now about, should we all ban the N-word? Well, yeah, let's all get together, all 300 million of us, and we'll sign a paper at the same time in the same place. Yeah, that's going to happen. We're all going to get on the same page. But anyway, back to Lott. I don't like the guy. I think he's a racist bastard. Goes without saying he was a Democrat until the Democrats freed the blacks, and then it's, oh, I can't be in that party. So him and Reagan and Strom Thurmond and a bunch of those, you know, they all used to be Democrats, but when them Negroes came along, we can't be in this party. We had to get out. So we know he's a racist bastard. But, and one of these days, believe it or not, I, Bart, could misspeak. I could say the wrong damn thing one day. It's possible. And it would be a challenge to come back from it. I don't know what I would say that would piss off everybody. Okay, so back to the Trent Lott here. Maybe Lot is selling himself short. After all, Lazarus was in the tomb only 4 days, but it took Lot 4 years to mount the improbable comeback that culminated in his election last week as minority whip, second most powerful fascist bastard in the Senate. So when he's talking to Bush, he ends up saying, we're looking forward to working with you. Okay. So then they go on, they talk to Trent Lott, and he says, as the whip, a position named after the switch-wielding valet at Fox Hunts, who keeps the hounds in line, Lott will keep his party disciplined and frustrate the Democrats. Are you ready now? Here's the part that's really going to piss me off. Oh. Lott will keep his party disciplined and frustrate the Democrats. Ready? Lott will keep his party disciplined and frustrate the Democrats with amendments and filibusters. Filibusters and amendments. That son of a bitch actually said that. 6 years of kicking Democrats in the teeth saying, you're in the minority. You don't count. Shut the fuck up and get out of my face. After 6 years of that, now they're going to use the filibuster? Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. You sons of bitches. When the Democrats had every legal right in the world to use a filibuster, and the Republicans said, by God, if you do, we're going to change the rules where there is no more filibuster, and then you're fucked forever. And the Democrats said, oh, please don't hurt me, like they always fucking do, and that pisses me off. Jesus Christ, that pisses me. We're sorry, please don't hurt me. It's how we fight fights, because we're Democrats. But anyway, what they need to do with this Lot character and every one of the sumbitches, you say, nah, here's what happened. You screwed us for 6 years, we're going to screw you for two, and it's starting in 09, January 09, then we go by X rules, and you write down the rules now that you're going to go by then. You get the other bastard to sign them and say, these are the rules. And don't give us some, oh, everything changed on X and Y. You know, don't give us this, well, yeah, we agreed to that in writing, but we changed our minds. We're not playing that. What we need to do is screw them for 2 years and then agree that they're only getting one-third of the screwing that they got coming to them because we're nice. Now, see, we don't have to be nice. We just have to act nice. We just have to talk nice. We're telling them we're only going to screw them a third as much as they screwed us. And if they want to do legal and balanced, you know, either the minority has a right to filibuster or they don't. Now, I guess we could live with it either way, but you kind of, on balance, you kind of would want to have that in there in case someone just goes crazy. But then, on the other hand, if the Democrats are all ready to do something, you get some asshole, idiot, backwards caveman like Jim Inhofe says, no, no, you can't do that. I don't know. Democrats don't believe in assassination the way the Republicans do, so our problems hang around. I kind of hate that. But anyway, that's what pissed me off about Trent Lott, threatening to use the filibuster on us. Oh, you son of a bitch. It's a good thing for you, Trent, that they don't listen to me. It's a damn good thing, because I'd make you eat that. I'd make you eat it again and again. I'd make you eat it on live TV and say, you know, while you're chewing, while you're swallowing, I said, isn't that right, Trent? You go, mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd be going through a whole lot of that. It would be never-ending if I was in charge. But no, the Democrats are too nice. How'd I get in this party? I forget. I'm recording this on the 6th, and on the 5th, I was listening to Al Franken, and he had on Lawrence O'Donnell, who I kind of like, except that I used to really hate him, because on West Wing, he played Bartlett's dad, and in the flashback scenes, he said something just mildly smart-ass to his dad, Lawrence O'Donnell, and he whacked him real hard in the face. I thought, oh, you son of a bitch, I just couldn't take that. I mean, he was in college at the time, and say the wrong thing to your dad and have your dad smack you with a backhand across the face? No, that wouldn't do it. I think I'd have to pull a George W. and say, hey, Dad, me and you, mano a mano in the backyard, because I ain't going to take that kind of ass whoop. You can correct me if you want. You can raise your hand and fake a slap to get the point across, but hey, you put your hands on me like that and we're going to rumble, I promise. So Lawrence O'Donnell is on Al Franken on a Tuesday, and he gave his roundup of what's going to happen in 08. And I know he's just one man with an opinion, but I agreed with everything he said, and it made me change something. But that's only because the change has happened. Now, here's what he was talking about. He said, for instance, doing the Republicans first. He said Giuliani and McCain are seen as the front runners, but he said, trust me, Giuliani doesn't have a chance. He told me a bunch of stuff. He said there's some dirt on him that everybody in New York knows, but the country as a general, you know, in general doesn't know. And he said among those, we all know that he moved in with his hooker, his guma. And, you know, just briefly, he takes his hooker to church with him and they give him communion. Now, come on, you sell out Catholics. How do you do that? He's brought his hooker to church. He brought his girlfriend to church. He's got a wife at home. Brings his girlfriend to church, and they know he's screwing this woman, and they give him the communion anyway. They don't mind sullying the body of Christ if it can make him an extra couple of bucks. Oh, you Catholics, you kill me. I swear to God, I got more integrity than the Pope does. All right, he said a whole bunch of bad things about Giuliani. One of them doesn't bother me any, but they said when Giuliani moved out of his house, this is so good. This is what O'Donnell said. He moved in with a couple of gay guys. Now, I'm not saying he's gay, but I think Giuliani has no problem with gays, to his credit, but that's really going to kill him with those fascist bastards that run the Republican primaries, especially. So he moved in with these couple of gay fellas, and he said it was better than living with a woman or his wife, whatever the quote was, because they made him a good breakfast every morning. Every morning, apparently, had bacon and eggs and this and that and rolls and hot toast and everything. And, oh, it was just wonderful living with these gay guys. Things like that are going to come back to kill him. And like I've been saying all along, he hates guns and he loves the gays, so he's got no chance. He's even pro-choice when it comes to abortion. So what's he going to do? I guess he could pull a Poppy Bush and stand up and say, screw those women, I changed my mind. I want some more power, so I'm going to change my mind. And you know, screw those women. They don't know what they're doing. That thing between their legs makes them stupid. They don't know what's best for them. I do, and I want to be president. So screw the women, screw women's rights. I'm going to decide all the things for the women because they're too stupid. I don't know how he can get away with that, but Poppy Bush got away with it, probably because whoever ran against him, that would be Dukakis, chose not to bring it up. Way to go, Mike. Just another in a long list of Democrats who refused to list the facts. Okay, so he says for that reason, Giuliani is not going to make it. And Giuliani's not that real good, you know, with the hardcore, insane, right-wing, religio wackos. He said someone who is the current governor of Massachusetts, what is his name? Romney. Now, his big claim to fame, he's governor of a northeast liberal state. Uh-oh. Didn't we have that problem with Kerry and Dukakis and all those? Isn't that like the most anti-thing in the whole world to be a liberal from Massachusetts? Well, he's the governor up there. And, oh, he did the Olympics, whoop-de-doo. That's where Bush, that bastard, get out there and said, let's roll, when he's trying to get the team to win some gold. Let's roll, you know, as if that wasn't a sacred thing around 9/11. Okay, so he says Romney has some insanity in his past. He's a Mormon, and the Mormons can have all the wives. And he said Romney's great-grandfather had five wives, so Romney can't tell you who his great-grandmother is. It's one of them bitches living with, with his great-grandfather. So Romney is going to try to be, this is what O'Donnell said, Romney is going to try to become the conservative version of Giuliani, but that won't work because Senator Sam Brownback, please. You know, I got a rule. If I never heard of you, you're not going to be president. I've heard of Brownback because they did all the Brokeback jokes about him, but you can't be a mouse. Oh, you can't spend your whole life like that Steny Hoyer. You can't spend your whole career in the public eye in Congress and no one ever heard of you, and then you'd turn around one day and decide you're going to be president. Same for this, well, that poor Vilsack guy. He might be the best guy in the world, might be the greatest man, the greatest candidate, the most honest, the most smart, but he's Vilsack. I mean, if you've been watching Jon Stewart, whenever he says his name, he gets up to the point where he's going to say his name and he can't think of it, and the Aflac duck walks across the screen and goes, Vilsack! If the mention of your name just makes people laugh, you're in trouble. Back to Romney, though. Romney is too crazy, and he's got to contend with Brownback, but Brownback's not going to be anything. He's going to, the ultra-right-wing handjob religion crazies, they're going to like Brownback a little bit, but he's not going anywhere. And they're not going to like Romney either. And they're not going to like Giuliani. He says this is McCain's all the way. He said it just nothing can stop it. It's a giant freight train. He said just like Dole in 96, 08 is McCain's turn, and even if they catch him with a dead boy, or whatever that phrase is, he's still going to be the nominee, no matter what. Nothing can stop it. Now, I've always said that wasn't going to happen, because Bush controls the nominating procedure. He's the Republican, and he's in charge of everything. So to even run, I mean, Christ, what are you going to do? McCain calls you and says, I want to come to your town and do a speech. You know, you want to stand on the stage with me and all that. And they say, oh, okay. And then Bush calls and says, no, don't do that. I'll fly out there in Air Force One and whoop-de-doo if you, you know. So in that regard, Bush can control the nomination process. But, and this isn't what O'Donnell said, but it might be what he meant, that Bush now, after the election, is so tainted, he is so poisoned, he is such Midas in reverse, that he may be so powerless that he won't have anything to do with the nominating procedure. It, you know, there's also a growing thing that Bush is not going to survive his presidency. I mean, not in a medical sense, but in a he may just decide to step down. If things just start getting dark, why would anybody want to, you know, he's stolen all this, these hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars. We will never know. But he's got all that money, and he's already said he doesn't care about history. So why would he want to sit through 2 years of investigations and questions and lawyers and grand juries and headlines? I mean, why would he bother? What would be in it for him? It would be a lot easier for him to, you know, have some kind of, you know, have his doctor release a thing that his heart's acting up and he should get more rest under stress, et cetera. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, of course, that puts Cheney in charge, so they're going to have to go out as a team. And that would make Pelosi president. I mean, I know this is wild talk, but what they've got is a situation that can't continue. It's, you know, in the comic books, they always just talk about the immovable object and the irresistible force, what happens when they hit each other. Well, we got one of those here. But the thing is, why would you want to put yourself through that? There's just no reason for Bush to want to put himself through that. And the same for every Republican. The Republicans are going to go to him and say, dude, you need to step down. It just ain't working. That's how they got rid of Nixon. That's how they're going to get rid of Bush. Because what are the Republicans going to do if for the next 2 years, every week's another headline, they did what? They promised us this and then they did that? Are you kidding me? To go through 104 weeks of that? Oh, I just think it's just crazy, but it could happen. You know, it would be great if I could play O'Donnell's words for you, because he did a very good job, very succinct, and he didn't have to, you know, stand there and look at the sky and try to think of what words he was using, because he had all this in his head. But I can't find a damn copy of it. You know, you go to airamerica.com and it says, click here for the archives. You go to the archives and it's just froze up. Just nothing happens. Please. The poor Democrats, they're so helpless. They're so brainless. They can't get anything to work. And then I searched up some other thing, Al Franken radio show archives, and they said, oh, we got 600 shows. So I go there, and the last one's from September. Please, nothing of note has happened since September. I think maybe it did. I think maybe in November we had something happen. You would think that as big a barcup.com radio, hey, what you're listening to now, you can go, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years from now, probably, you can click on it, and there it still is. But no, Al Franken, billionaire Al Franken, and all the money they got at Air America, don't let them fool you with the bankruptcy stuff. Al's getting $1 million or $2 million a year. And you know what they told me? Might have mentioned this to you before. Years ago, back in 2002, when we were doing that DC Fest, we'll call it, we were looking for people that, you know, we might be able to arm twist into showing up, and Al Franken's name came up, and this guy told me, don't bother, he's $30,000 a speech. And that was way back before he had a radio show, and before most people, I was before Rush Limbaugh's a big fat idiot. This is way back when he was nobody. He was getting $30,000 a night. Now, that's real money. Oh, and not to pick on Al Franken, because I like him. And I think he's going to be a good senator. But he's got this commercial out now where he's sponsoring a child for $22 or $24 a month. Her name is Maria or something. It's like, well, yeah, Al, you know, that's nice. But, you know, when you make $150,000 a week, coming up with $28 is not a big deal. Of course, maybe that's the trap. If he had said, I've got enough money, I support 100 of these children, $2,800 a month. You know, then everybody says, oh, he's so rich, you know, so maybe in that regard he can't win. But all I'm getting at is, it'd be nice if I could play the actual report for you, but no, it's not anywhere. I was in my car when I heard this, so yeah, what am I going to do, turn on my car recorder? And it would be nice if an entity as big as Al Franken and Air America could actually put their archives online where they could actually be reached, but no, they can't come up with a way to do that. So that was the thing. All along I've been saying Giuliani can't win because he hates guns, he loves the gays, he likes the abortion. And Romney, I don't see Romney, he never did. And Brownback, never did. I don't see anybody. The only possibles were Giuliani and Torture Boy. But Giuliani's got his problems, so that leaves only Torture Boy, who Bush hates, and that was always the reason why I didn't think he was going to do it. But if Bush has fallen so hard and gotten himself in so much trouble, is it actually going to be, you know, the lame duck thing is kind of obvious, but is he going to be so lame that nobody is going to pay any attention to him? He's the president, and he's just out of the loop. He's, irrelevant? He doesn't matter? Kind of hard to see that coming. And then, of course, they went to break. When they came back, they talked about the Democrats. And, oh, I know how you hate to hear us, but he said it's all Hillary all the way, big, giant, wide open. Nobody's going to challenge her. Anyone to challenge her is going to look stupid because she's a girl. She's going to make them eat it. Nobody wants to lose to a girl. He said Obama sort of, you know, kind of is becoming a factor, but really, he agrees with me. Obama, he's 2 years in the business. He's not going to be I hear people saying, oh, you think they're going to vote for a woman? Well, duh, a really, really smart woman with 8 years in the White House and six in the Senate, that's 14 years on top of the really smart. I'm not saying Obama isn't smart, but, you know, he's 2 years right now. By then, he'll be four, but he's a black guy that's unproven, new on the job. I got nothing against black guys. I got nothing against gay guys. I got nothing against women, but we're talking about winning the votes here. I think the Democrats can win without a doubt. No problem, no way she could possibly lose in 08, just because we're stuck with Bush. And I mentioned this on the page, but they talked about Clinton fatigue because, oh, we had to hear about Monica and oral sex. Well, geez, I'd rather hear about Monica and oral sex than another nine soldiers died over the weekend. I mean, how long are we going to put up with that? How long can we put up with nothing in the Treasury? How long can we put up with the super rich are getting triple rich and the middle class is going to hell? How long are we going to put up with all that stuff? For the next 2 years, we got nothing but Bush, 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 and everybody hates him. I think they're just going to rapido vote for the Democrat, whoever that is. And if it turns out not to be Hillary, that's okay with me. I just want a Democrat to win. But I sure hope the reason, if Hillary's not the president, I hope it's not because she got stabbed in the back by her own peeps. That would be a bad thing, but it would be very, very Democratic of them to do that.